Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Big Rab Florence from Helensburgh, Scotland. And my co-host, as ever, is Grado from... Where would you say you're from now, Grado?
Well, currently residing in Ardrossan. But always my heart will... Saying that, it's a bit of a kind of... I say I'm from the tap end of Stevenson. I'm not staying the tap end in about 5 years. I moved to the middle end, but I really don't like talking about stuff like that, but I am a kind of the middle ender now.
Where do you... What's your address? What's your physical address? So welcome to Wrestling
and there
Daft.
There is two dogs locked up, by the way, where I'm staying, so that is quite...
Welcome to Wrestling Daft. Hey, Shat is in the WWE.
It's amazing. So last week, and he totally whopped me, right, because he never told me about this...
That's a Shaq Samuels.
Did you manage to see Shaq Samuels?
Shaq Samuels we're talking about.
And so when I say he walked me.
I did see it, mate. I saw it. I sent him a wee message.
So he comes out, Ed Harvey, and I'm like, brilliant, man. This is going to be fucking mega material for the next fucking couple of years. His new name, Big Eddie. I'm going to change my phone number. Oh, Ed Harvey. You know, remind me of the jeans. Remember the jeans, Ed Hardy and all that, right? I know this stuff, man. I'm going, this is brilliant. And then actually, the coolest thing, what is it happens? He gets on the mic at the end, he turns around and says, that's not me, I'm Shaq Samuels, which I thought was quite original. I told him, I says, mate, that's a fucking cool debut. You think the amount of people that probably turn up in WWE and they get their name and everybody's mad and everybody's raging, but this is to turn it into a bit of storylines. Pretty cool.
That was good, wasn't it?
Aye, because, mate, Shaq is, for me, the best character in British wrestling, man. Best promo. Best look, just oozing charisma. I'm obviously going to say that because my best mate, but last week, man, proud that he's finally getting the recognition that he absolutely deserves. It just means we'll never get to probably speak to him on this for a wee while.
And I know that's true. And but it looks like they have let him just kind of be himself as well, you know, which is great. Everybody knows he's been the finished article for a long time, you know what I mean? He's ready for this, so
for like 10 years, mate.
Aye, he's been the finished article for a long time, so it's just nice that they've understood that and let him go away. And I liked it. I liked that it was almost like a rib on his fans, kind of, you know what I mean?
Aye, definitely. And it was a kind of... The fuck was that, John?
Sorry, that was... just pick it up.
Mate, you've put me off
no,
a
hold
strike,
on.
Mate.
Producer John, I just want to say, don't cut this out of the show. Producer John just was watching something on his phone there and we heard the sound coming through it during the show. Don't cut that, John. Don't cut this bit out of you interrupting the fucking show we are in. This is what our producer does.
He's probably looking up stuff for his work with his new job. You know what I say?
He's on Pornhub. That was a Pornhub intro. That was a Pornhub intro.
No, it's a clip for this show. It's a clip for this show for...
It was a Pascal. That sounded like Pascal's voice. It sounded like Fake Taxis. The guy, the driver in Fake Taxi.
You're a big fan of Fake Taxi? I've never really kind of watched that.
Mate, I'm...
I can't imagine you going on Pornhub. I just can't.
I'm just saying these things for comedy reasons, mate.
Sorry, you know mate. Sorry.
It's just comedy material, right?
I see John as a big porn guy.
I see John as a big porn guy. You mean like a performer or watching? Big John McNally, he's got a reputation, by the way.
Dustin Diamond. John Diamond. That would be his porn name, eh?
Oh, big John, a big 10-inch McNally.
Don't start the Dustin Diamond chat stuff again, Grado.
Big Dong McNally.
Anyway, do you see me as a big porn guy?
I think you watch loads of porn.
Do you?
Aye. I think you watch loads of porn.
Do you?
You're not denying it.
Right. You know that old I'm going to be 10 minutes late today.
Right, hey, the punters got in touch. They say Chris and Scott pointed out a tweet for Virgil, which read, Virgil is a, you know, a legendary wrestler. He used to be a $1 million man's kind of butler guy. He says, I love Book Cameo. It's always a ball of fun. This is the Cameo, the website where you shout outs to people. I'm never a dick like other celebs. So here's a tip. Don't hog all of me and give your loved ones a special day and grab a piece of my beef. I always stay ahead of the curve. Book me today. Unfortunately, the video that went alongside this showed Virgil with Wani's boss hanging out.
Aye. And do you think he meant that? That was fucking very disturbing.
You can see that video on our Wrestling Daft Twitter.
Aye. If you want to go see Virgil's fucking buzz.
If you want to see a veteran wrestler testicle hanging out, then that's, we've got you. We're your hookup for that. Got to give a shout out to Arsenal, who a lot of you pointed out ran out to Kurt Angle's theme at the weekend.
Well, Wani's or the TNA one. What's funny?
And another football-related matter, check out WWE SPFL account on Twitter, who have suggested that Vince Russo is currently working in creative at Celtic. Very funny. What is all that about, though? What is Neil Lennon's press conference thing? Just embarrassing.
What a promo.
Just embarrassing. Merv football-related wrestling news. Thanks to Coach Tripp, a friend of the show, who wanted to point out something that has made it on WWE Network. What is this? Let's hear this.
Right, I'll go on.
And the last thing, you people, you saw Jason Reed. I'm sorry, son, but it was getting tapped out right here in the centre of this ring. Is that good enough?
No.
But I'm not here to be on your back. I mean, you lose one match. You lose one match and it's a disaster. It's a catastrophe.
I like that, Grado.
I fucking love that. That's brilliant. Tell you, man, Tommy Sheridan is top entertainment. Tommy, if you're a big wrestling fan, you're listening, I know you. Tommy's got my number and he's one of you guys that sends me all these WhatsApps. And I don't think I've opened any of them in a year. And it's all stuff about politics and all that. Like, fucking, yes, this, and Solidarity Brother, and new law, and fucking Parliament. And I'm like, why is he sending this to me, man?
So there you go. Finally, thanks to B.A. Williams, by the way, who says, don't know if it's been mentioned before, but listening to the Cornette Experience podcast, and Brian Last pronounced the S in Isla Dawn like a pure fanny. So Isla Dawn or Isla Dawn?
Isla Dawn, I think.
I usually listen to that podcast.
Isla Dawn.
Did you hear it, John?
I've not heard it, no, but it was pointed out to by BA.
Deadbeats. Absolute deadbeats. I bet you that studio when Cornette and Hammer doing that show, I bet you it stinks of, like, you know, like pish.
No.
That pishy trousers smell that old kind of guys have. I bet you they both have that kind of pishy trousers smell. And that studio, you can feel it because it'll be hot probably while they're doing it as well, and just the stink rises off them. What I'm saying is Cornette's stinking.
No. Nah, I'm not having that. We need to watch what we're saying, because somebody will end up. Jim Cornette will end up fucking. He can go daft on that Twitter.
I've spoken to a lot of the boys though, and a lot of the boys have spoken about Jim Cornette's body odor situation.
Really?
So it must be stinking in there. But it's well known. If you're in the know in the industry, you know that Jim Cornette's like he's stinking, man. He's fucking honking.
Brian Last also pronounced Glasgow with a Glasgow last week on his show as well.
Brian Last.
You alright, mate?
Aye. Now every week we ask you to come up with puns based on wrestling. Last week we had alcohol, this week it's all about the drugs. I was just wanting to say, before we go into this, remember that drugs are for mugs. Never ever turn to the drugs. Times are hard just now. Stay away from the junk. Cameron got in touch with Alexa Piss Test and The Undertaker. Andy, get in touch with Dakota Kett of the Honky Junk Man. Dunks had Blow Dallas. Selco got in touch with Chris Jericho Kane.
These are noise.
Nah, and Rowdy Roddy Pipe Gear. It's crap, isn't it? Sorry, Selkirk's crap. Falcon says the many characters of Cactus Jack, Doobie Love, Mangrind, and Mick Rowley.
Wow, man, I'm laughing tonight.
Garbage. Gary says Aces and Eight Balls and Terry Skunk. Nah, rotten. Chris says the Hot Rockers. Crap. Morg says Kurt Spangled, Roman Veins, and Bongo Balance. Nah. Redray Hendrix Experience says Narco Stunt.
Are we in a mood tonight, or does it maybe feel that we've possibly done drugs before?
We've never done it. B.A. Williams says Meth Rollins. Nick says Codeine Ambrose, Valium Venus, Alexa Spliff, Ricky Chasing the Dragon Steamboat.
Next one's good.
No, I'm just going to jump straight to Grant says Brett hit a badging heart. Martin by Graham Bigelow. Mr. Ian has Diazepam Bam Bigelow.
That's good.
Big Benny has Ecky Lynch.
It's great for you.
And yo, it's me, it's PCP. Colin, Tramadolf Ziggler, Puff Bagwell, and Sniffing Glue McIntyre. Wally says Jack Swedger. Fraser says Brothers, Codeine Rhodes, and Angel Dustin Rhodes. These are fucking rotten.
What's the deal, man? Is it maybe because this maybe ran its course, like you said?
It's ran its course.
Do you think so?
I'm making the decision it's ran its course.
I'm
done with the puns. Listen, this isn't a fucking breakfast radio, boys. I'm going to take an idea and date it for like fucking 10 years in a row.
It's such a massive response every week. We've had hundreds in.
Do you know why that is? Because it's just too easy. Too easy to do this. And listen, it didn't pop with boys this week. It's as simple as that. Didn't he pop with boys this week? It's getting fucking binned.
I don't know, but I'm fearing in case everybody hates us because we never liked it, because they might be going, well, you fucking hick or something. Do you know what I mean?
I don't care. Listen, we hold our listeners to high standards. Right. We're not here to go, oh, that was a great one, that was a great... Listen, you need to come with the best. You need to come with it, and this is why we...
What's the last one, John? You read it.
Superfly, Chingy, Snooker, Brutus the Barber, Space Cake, and Scott Rohuthen Hall. Good, eh?
Fuck's sake. Just you get back on Pornhub, mate. Because that's it. I'm calling a fucking end to it. I don't want to be reading out any more of these puns.
I think you should let the listeners vote. I think you should ask the listeners, do they want to see it come back? And tweet, or you're off Twitter now, Rab, but tweet us and let us know, should we keep the pun in or should we let it go?
And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
Woo! Look at me. I am glowing. I'm very clean shaved because I have received my latest accessories from the one and only Harry's. Because I'll tell you a wee story about Harry's. I tell you what they done, Rab. They basically, to ensure the quality products, Harry's bought a factory in Germany, right? They've been making blades for over 100 years. Can you believe that? The factory team has more than 600 engineers, designers, craftsmen, and the chemists make Harry's products for the finest materials and ingredients. Now, all of this ensures a quality shave at a fair price, but what do you get with Harry's? That's the question. Harry's razors includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. It's a weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip, and trimmer blade with rich lathering shave gel, which I just love. It's to die for. Travel blade cover also included. And I'm telling you what, get started shaving with Harry's today, and you're going to get a wee trial set, a wee goodie bag, and it comes to your door. So a good way to support this podcast is to get your trial. Get it delivered to you. It includes a razor handle, it includes the cartridge, the shave gel, and a travel blade cover. All you need to do is go to harrys.com/wrestlingdaft right now. That's harrys.com/wrestlingdaft now.
Every week, we like to separate the good for the bad in the wrestling. The Godfather Part 1 for The Godfather Part 3, or The Godfather Part 2 for The Godfather Part 3, or The Godfather Part 2 for The Godfather Part 1. Depends.
Did you know that last week?
No, that's a new one.
Oh, is it? Okay. Sorry.
Grado, never ever question producer John. I know he's distracted tonight. I know he's like, his wee arms rocketing up and down. Aye. He's distracted. However,
playing with his tootle.
Playing with his tootle. John, can you do like a radio presenter's voice? Like, let me hear you say, like, as if you're opening a radio show.
I'm not a radio, but I'm just a producer.
You've done it, though. I know you've done it.
You've definitely done the travel.
No, I have done the travel.
Right, let's see, day the travel.
Day the travel. Day the travel, right?
Day the travel, John.
You're the travel.
Travel.
Right, okay.
No, I want to say,
this is travel daft, right? This is travel daft.
Travel, man. Travel daft, man.
Okay.
There you go.
Got calls coming in at the moment on the hotline. A set of ladders has went off on the MA near Junction 14. That's eastbound Junction 14 on the MA. A set of ladders. Look out for that on the outside lane. Moving on to the M80. Slow moving Junction 2 due to a broken down vehicle. There we go. That's it.
Beautiful. Gredo,
that was
what,
all right, mate.
What are you like doing it?
Hey, what am I like... I've had a look at the cameras, looking all the...
Jesus. Oh, well, I would go straight off the road if I was listening to that. If I heard that, I would just go straight off into the back.
See, you make me nervous, right? Yeah, okay. I've had a look at the cameras, it's looking no too bad. I've looked at the M8, M80, M77, M74, you're getting a good run in all of them. The slow moving traffic, however, in Crow Road, that's due to temporary traffic lights. Do take care if you're on approach to that area. Reports of a broken down vehicle... see, I don't know.
Beautiful, I'll try it now.
There you go. Yeah. You're pretty the best at it.
Oh, well, I don't know the names of the motorways. Yeah. I don't even know the names of the roads. Look out coming up to the M8. Now there's a wee bit of action happening up here. Looks like there's a dug running about on the M8, so be careful when you're going past that wee dug. Get your buzz. A big one, it's a great day, and get your helmet out the windy and get a wee clap on the way by. If you can, if you're going at 10 mile an hour, don't try it if you're going at 80. Right enough, the 80-42 at the Junction there, the ice cream van stop. If anybody wants to get a wee wafer or a double nugget, something like that.
Mate, it's, you get that. See, that's the way it should be. Like, see, this morning, I was reading, because I'm not meant to be doing the travelling, right, and I've had to do it. And this morning I was going, there's a road closure here. It's from 8 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. Do take care if you're on approach that day. And I was like, oh, that's for the 25th of March. Like, life went here, and I'm like, right, that's for the 25th of March. Just take a wee note in your diary, 25th of March. You know what I mean? Because I'm horrific at it. And I come off like a nerve with eyes, man. It's horrific, I hate doing it. But you know what? A pure try, like I really, really tried, you know, that way. Like I try and be like, do remember there is a yellow warning in place for ice and snow? That is in place until tomorrow morning. Like a pure want to date good, but I can't.
Mate, you'll get there. So anyway, let's see what Barry and putting over. I am burying, listen, I'm burying The Fiend and Alexa Bliss. You see, Alexa Bliss during their match, we ask her this Monday Night Raw. In the middle of the match, she transformed into a dark version of herself, which just means it looks like she was going up the cat house instead of the garage. And then she bent backwards in the corner like The Fiend does and gave Asuka a fright. Gave Asuka a fright, right? Gave Asuka a fucking fright, right? This wee fucking blonde lassie bending backwards in the corner. And then I don't know what happened at the end. At the end, she transformed back again. It's just, it's a lot of shite. Wrap it. It's nae good.
Aye.
Garbage. It's a waste of... Alexa Bliss is good. It's a waste of her. It's a fucking waste. It's as if, you know how, like, it's as if these people that are fans of The Fiend and stuff like that on Twitter and the kind of wanky stuff they wrote, it's almost as if the writers have went and read what some fans have written on Twitter and are like, well, no, do that, we'll make that happen. It's the worst. It's just the worst.
Aye.
I don't even know what it's meant to, who are we meant to be rooting for? Who's the goodie? Who's the face? Who's the heel? Who are we meant to be rooting for? What are we meant to be caring about here? What's the story? What is even the angle? What even is the angle here?
So in the highlights, it's the lights are on, but then it skips and the lights are off. What happened there?
The lights go off.
Right.
And then she's in different gear. Basically, they just stopped filming and then she went off and got changed and that, and Asuka just waited in the ring. Well, that happened. I know we're meant to think like magically she turned into a fucking... It's just garbage, man.
And then she's
man.
Back to, and at the end she's back to looking on with wee lassie.
Aye, it's
fuck,
it's
me,
garbage.
Man.
I tell you what else is garbage. All the stuff when she does her segments and she's in and she's swinging on the swing and all that, like she's a wee lassie and all that. Like, what the fuck are we even watching here?
Aye.
What the fuck are we even watching? What is it meant to be? I don't know. Who's it? What is it playing into? I don't get it. And what else can I say about it? How else do I hate it? I will say one thing. She does a... What's the name of the finishing move?
The Abigail. Sister's Abigail.
She does that better than Bray Wyatt, does it?
Right.
It's probably because she's moving weird people, but it's
what's going on here? I mean, you're going into the night and you read shite every week. Raw was pish and all this, but it looked as if it really, really, really did take a fucking a hiding this week. Really, really did. What did you make of the Drew McIntyre segment? The Goldberg and the guy coming out in an Irish accent?
In the year 2021, we're still doing the Goldberg joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgraceful. What are the writers? I mean, what is going on?
The boy was in intensive care 2 months ago and all.
Who was Gilbert?
Gilbert might have had a heart attack, man. You're fucking burying him, man. Fucking Pierre Dwayne, man.
Well, I'm just saying, like it's like when they had the Legends show and then the Boogeyman was in somewhere again, somebody a fright again and all that. I'm just kind of like, let's get some new fucking ideas.
And it's every New Year's show or whatever, Raw show. Damn! And yep. Fuck me, man.
Let's get some new fucking ideas, man.
Well, the NWO comes back.
I don't understand it because this is the WWE of this massive company, right? They've got shareholders. And there can be no doubt that their ratings are fucking piss poor at the minute. And I don't understand why there's nobody there going, listen, we need to shake this up. We need to shake it up. And I'm never want to be moaning about the product, as they say. I don't like doing it, but it's you can't ignore the fact that that 3-hour Raw show is fucking dreadful. Now, it's terrible television.
A lot of people have made comparisons to it being like WCW 2000, but fuck me, I'd well rather watch WCW 2000 and all that stuff, whether it's just because I was a winner and I loved it. However, some of that stuff that you see, man, these wee segments, and they get you the boat, didn't they?
With the talent that they've got,
exactly,
on their roster, it's a disgrace how bad that show is. And it's all down to the production team, it's down to the writers, it's down to creative. It's not the fault of any of the workers out front. It's the fault of the people in the back. And it's just disgraceful. And I don't believe for what I know everybody goes, well, it's Vince's fault. Vince is an old man now. I don't believe that for one second. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that for one second.
Brian Gerwerts was tweeting about it. He was saying, oh, so people, because I think he watched a wrestler go, I'm putting myself in the rumble. And he's like, what is that the deal now? Can MD just say, I'm putting myself in the rumble? He says, is there 100 donk the clown?
Doink.
He says, is there a donks out there sitting
on? Donks. I'm in the rumble. John's watching the new. There's 100 donks. And he's Pornhub. Right, anyway, let's see what the punters are saying. John wants to put all Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. Great match. And he wants
hold on a minute. Wait, yeah.
What?
I've been watching wrestling.
All right. You want to put something
on? Fucks. Okay.
You want to put our Impact?
Well, I'll tell you what. I might put our... I've watched eight... So I never caught the Impact pay-per-view. I watched last week's Dynasty. And I watched last night's Impact. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I really, really did. What can I say? I watched the Brian Cage and... What'd you call the wee golf one?
Sorry, Greg, can I just rewind? Did you just call Dynasty?
Dynamite. Oh, fuck, Dynamite. IDW Dynamite Dynasty. What the fuck? What am I getting out of here? Is that a tag team or something? No.
Darby Allin, are you talking about?
Darby Allin and Brian Cage was superb. I just feel like just all the kind of undercard is a hell of a lot better than the WWE stuff. I really am quite invested in a lot of the stuff. I really am. I can't fucking remember it now, but it was good.
I would like to see Nick Aldis in the mix.
He would be great there. He would be good. See, this is annoying. I fucking watch this. I'm watching this wrestling so I can talk about it in wrestling, Daft, and I can't fucking remember half of it. What happened?
Oh, the Omega.
Didn't he take notes?
The Omega Goodmother Brothers stuff, Grado Joy.
The Goodmothers?
Goodmothers.
The Goodmothers on Dynasty.
Is that what you're watching in Pornhub?
I love the Don Callis stuff and I love the Don Callis stuff. I love the this week on Impact, basically Matt Hardy showed up on Impact with Private Party. Good.
What do you make of the Matt Hardy character as it is just now on AEW?
I think it's been done before, you know what I mean? It's been done before in wrestling. I don't mind it. I like it. So sometimes it goes a wee bit, you know. bringing up Carney every 2 minutes to try and be cool, bringing up wrestling terms and stuff like that. But I mean, Matt looks as if he's, I mean, he hobbles about. He can't be in the greatest condition, so he's good enough to keep on TV. And I suppose as entertaining. It was good to see him last night turning up on Impact. You think the fucking fallout they had years ago between him, I suppose it was him and Jarrett in the end up, but it was quite interesting to see. Well, that's, I'd never in a million years thought he'd end back up, back end up back there. But I do see the only thing that I've noticed with wrestling, right? And fuck, if I went back and I watched off my stuff, I cringe at it and all, but it's the overacting of stuff sometimes. See the facials, a fucking promos, it fucking does my nutting. Do you know what I mean by that, Brad? Ken,
what do you think of the facials, John?
Ken, all that? Ken.
John, what do you, John, what do you think of the facials?
I love how this has turned into a running joke this week.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And it's fucking... Some of this stuff's a bit... And some stuff in TNA that attempting comedy, it's no funny. The AEW stuff, actually, they are quite funny. The Inner Circle are very funny. I think Jericho's funny. I think Sammy Guevara and MGF are very, very funny.
There's a lot of funny in the Dark Order as well.
The Dark Order, it's funny. It really is funny. So I mean, the other night, it's Wednesday as we record this. I'll be waking up tomorrow, and the first thing I did when I come back to the radio was watching AEW. I just think it's cool the way how there's so much going on, and I'm interested in quite a lot of it. The Brian Cage and Sting stuff, the Miro and Chuck Taylor stuff is quite interesting. The tag team, the Revival, are fucking shit hot.
Here's a question: who are you interested in the least?
Who am I interested in the least in AEW? Cody Rhodes. I can't get into the Cody Rhodes, like coming out with the suit and being the boss and being a bit, I just think that's played out now. It's been a bit samey. It's no change for the very start of that show. Do you get what I mean? He's always coming out playing the kind of boss. We all know he's the boss and he's goody and all this and let things happen. I do like when he gives folk a chance and you get guys coming up for the
I like Cody.
No, I'm not saying I don't like him. I just think it's probably what I'm least interested in. It's no, I don't like it, but it's just a bit kind of, it's no...
you feel it's...
Doesn't he grab me? So that's no anything on him. It's just what I'm probably interested in the least. It's probably...
I think for me, weirdly, I'm no delighted with how John Moxley has...
Oh! 100%, mate. I agree with that as well. No internet, mate. He is too much. See that swagger walking down to the ring, and I think he tries too hard to be what he was 15 years ago in CZW. I think he's trying,
but the thing is,
too much to be out there.
He kind of isn't even really quite like he was in CZW back in the day. You know what I mean? He's kind of, because then he had a wee bit more of an outsider kind of thing, and now... I kind of find it difficult to kind of grasp exactly what he's meant to be. I'm kind of no sure what he's meant to be.
Exactly, because if you, 15 years ago, you know he's a down and out fucking guy that's smoking fags backstage.
The weird fucking guy that's kind of hanging about. And
that's the wee nuisance and the kind of anti-Christ, no anti-Christ, but do you know what I mean?
Anti-hero kind of guy.
Anti-hero, or that kind of carry on, which you can't really buy into the now because you know he's the top dog there, so it's... I don't... See, I don't like slagging other wrestlers, man, but...
You're no slagging him off, though. You're just saying the thing that's dangerous now is no... Your cup of tea, because I think he's a really creative guy, and I think he's in a bit of a kind of know that interesting spot at the minute, you know what I mean?
Aye.
I would say.
But Darby Allin, man, I never thought I'd like that boy. But there's something that's really interesting about that character, and you can argue
about
how he's no big, but you'd see the match you had with Brian Cage, man, there was plenty of psychology in that. It was superb, I loved it.
Do you like Ricky Starks?
Is this a guy that's way Brian Cage? I've not seen enough of Ricky Starks, mate, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's move on. Let's see what the punters are saying. So, like I say, John Puto or Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. I just kind of feel like we've seen, you know, everybody's going, oh, it looks like they're going to do something with Cesaro again. No. We've had that moment too many times. The wee man, is this the actual wee man?
It is the actual wee man.
From ICW.
Where's this?
He says, the fact that we got to see grown-up Bernard the Elf with the Santa Claus with his ass crack hanging out the back of a kilt was a little bit of both. That was Bernard the Elf with the Santa Claus who was playing Drew McIntyre in that skit bit. Willie wants to bury Team Taz running away from Sting for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
I get what he means by that. Yeah. It's a bit played out because you think as well, it's like Sting's done nothing yet, and I get they don't want to blow the load with it, but there's only so many weeks that you want to see him batter somebody, don't you? I mean, he has got toed in with his bat and all that, but I get what they mean. I get what he means.
Willie also wants to give props to SmackDown. He's enjoying SmackDown. Scott wants to bury me and you, Grado, for sooking up Goldberg's arse. He's not going to shag us.
Cool.
Scott says, well, you don't know that. And he wants to put over Mark Henry saying he's going to be out of Ryback when he sees him. And the lad in the Rey Mysterio mask protesting that Pataudry holding up a Time's Up McInnes banner. Nick wants to bury, even though it's hilarious, bury Randy Orton's ridiculous El Santo mask for Raw. What a load of shite. And he wants to put over the documentary You Cannot Kill David Arquette, one of the best wrestling documentaries he's seen in forever. Sure. Brett the Hootman Hart wants to put over Taz asking Excalibur if he's ever played the skin flute on AEW Dark. And he wants to bury Tony Khan being an on-screen presence on Impact and sending Jerry Lynn to help Private Party beat Chris Sabin and Jim Storm. Stay off of telly, mate. Why should he stay off of telly? He's fucking putting all the money in. How about you fucking stay off the telly, mate?
I quite like Tony Khan on the wee adverts.
This guy's fucking paying for all this, and you're saying you've got the cheek. The guy's paying for it all, and you've got the cheek to fucking tell him, fucking stay off that, mate. You could fucking make you sell the fucking champ if you wanted to. He's fucking paying for it all. He's fucking bought every cunt's fucking clays, he's bought every belt, he's bought the fucking ring. That guy's going, stay off my show, mate.
That's so funny. This guy's paying for all this.
Fucking pay for it. Imagine me ordering a fucking takeaway and then a delivery guy bringing it and going, don't you be eating that, mate. Don't you be fucking eating that takeaway.
That's so funny, mate. I actually quite like it.
Bronze Cello wants to put her Big Sham in his NXT UK debut and this weekend's Impact pay-per-view Hard to Kill. And he wants to bury NXT originally calling Shat Ed Harvey. That had to be an inside joke, surely. Can Grado smarten us up?
Well, I think I know whose idea it was. I'm fair to say, in case he gives me into trouble. Well, I think I should say, I don't know.
Was it a best, Grado?
No, but I best contacted him the other night.
Oh, did he?
I says, how's it going? This is not too bad, just driving to the radio. But the idea for Shah, I think, was for one of the top, like the highest guy in NXT. And I thought that's cool that they're taking the time to work on something like that.
Was it Regal?
It was JB, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Was it Regal?
No.
Was it HBK?
No comment.
Scott wants to put over AJ Styles bouncing Ricochet off the ropes and catching him in the Styles Clash. Highlight of what was another terrible episode of Raw. And wants to bury Randy Orton wearing that mask. It's hard to believe how much WWE have ruined his character from where it was after his feud with Edge to where it is now. Right, I need to agree there, Scott. And I need to say, Randy Orton was fantastic again during that Edge period. Randy Orton is a scary guy in his own right.
Aye.
You don't have to have him getting involved in fucking setting people on fire, killing people, wheel asses, firing fireballs into his face, and fucking wearing mad masks, creeping about in the dark, turning the lights off, wearing night vision goggles and that. What the fuck is going on? That guy himself, with his eyes and his face and his height and his body and how he can wrestle and all that, is fucking scary enough. He's got the look of a villain about him. You don't need to be doing all this. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't get that because it was a fucking... It was a sparkler you get for the shops at fucking Halloween, isn't it? Isn't he? And he's got all the red paint to make it look as if his face is burnt. What's the reason for him being setting fire? Was it not to stop him figuring in the Royal Rumble?
Who is this for? This again, I'm going to come back to this. Who is this fucking for? Hmm. See this Alexa Bliss character who is fucking possessed by the fiend or whatever, right? Who is meant to be interested in that? Mm-hmm. As a grown man my age, a fucking 44 almost year old man, meant to be interested in it? No. You say, Rab, it's no for you, right? Who's it for then? Is it for a 28 year old fucking guy? Is it for a 12 year old boy? No, a 12-year-old boy's wanting to watch. Hey, mommy, it's Alexa Bliss says she's possessed by the fiend and she's firing the fireballs and she bent backwards and gave a fright and then the lights went off and then I changed into a new costume. It's, what the fuck? Who's it for?
I don't know what you're getting about. The wrestling's been shite for years. If it has, but...
It's now the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on and ask either what you thought about Hard to Kill at the weekend. Good luck, you didn't watch it. Or ask me for some cheats on computer games. People that haven't used cheats in computer games for about 20 years, that's gone up.
No, sorry.
Okay, let's see what Neil has got to say for his cell. Neil is coming on. What's his surname? We don't know. We're going to find out. Neil Logan, it looks like. Neil Hulk Logan is coming on. Lulk Logan.
Hulk Logan.
How's it going?
There he is. It's Neil Logan. How you doing, brother?
I'm not bad, guys. Yourself?
I'm good. Well. What's on your shelves, mate?
You'll be into it, mate. It's my board game collection and that.
Fortnite. Oh, yes, brother. Right. Well, pull one out and show me one.
Pull one out.
I'm a board game, I mean, mate. Pull me a board game, mate, just before you.
John, you can do.
John's up there with his Tadger out, so.
My favourite one, which is quite a big one, Claustrophobia.
Claustrophobia, mate. Belter. That's your favourite board game of them all?
Sorry?
Yeah, that's your favourite board game?
I quite enjoy it. Just a nice two-person dungeon crawler thing.
How do you... What do these do? I don't get it. So what, do you...
Tell
him,
Neil, tell him about Claustrophobia.
How do you play that?
Claustrophobia, that's it's a two-person dungeon crawler, which is basically you're exploring a map. You're laying out tiles exploring the map, and you're... One person's playing a demon player who's trying to attack you, and you're playing the human players that are trying to find their way out the dungeon, basically.
You do this in a fucking build?
it's a bunch of tiles that you lay down, eh? So you build the map as you go.
Do you like chess?
I've played that a bit, but it's not the best. Like,
have you seen The Queen's Gambit?
Nah, I've not watched it. Folk keep talking about it, but I've not watched it.
Aye, it's about chess. You seen it, John?
The wife watched it, said it was very, very good.
Did you get to the end? I'm in like series 5 and it's taking a wee bit of a kind of a dip, but it's alright.
No, I actually really enjoyed it. I think the ending's really, really good.
Right, okay, cookies. Aye, right, okay, what's that?
It looks like he's digging
out
his board games.
I think Rab's went...
Oh, is he getting out his fucking... his haunted fucking set of Connect 4?
I know you like your documentaries, Gredo. There's a good one called Alpha Go, which is about like AI, teaching AI to play board games and stuff like that.
Really?
Ah, oh, mate.
Is that National Geographic? No.
No, it was on Netflix.
Oh, there you
look
go.
Look at that. Brilliant.
Claustrophobia gang. The Claustrophobia crew.
I might hold minds up at the same time.
Aye, let's do it. Let's both hold them up. We're both holding up our claustrophobias.
Our copies of Claustrophobia. Aye, good game, mate.
Good game,
mate. What's this one of them set you back?
Oh, that's quite an expensive one, to be fair.
Oh, is it?
Probably about £100 or something.
It's first edition and all, mate. It's first edition.
I've got the new one as well.
Get the new one,
1664 or whatever it's called.
Fair play, it's Hermes or that, isn't it?
Wait, it's Hermes. Fucking shut up. What have you got on your shelves, Gredo? Saw himself. That's his ego on that shelf.
Yeah, I've got the Alain C. Smith autobiography.
Have you actually?
Yeah. I've got Hardcore Holly's autobiography. Let me see what I bought you Christmas, right? Let me see this. This as well. You know how that fancy hotel in London, Claridge's?
Aye.
Right, I've got a book all about Claridge's, the hotel. It's got all the kind of all the recipes and how they make the toast and how they make the tea and all that.
That's pretty cool. I was about to slag it off, but
look at this. What I've got, and I got this, the 97 and the 93 edition. It's all the observer notes for 97. Look, it's thick.
Wow.
It's actually really kind of interesting. So I've got that at Christmas time. I never got it for my Christmas, but I bought it.
Who wrote that? The Wrestling Observer notes.
Was it known probably Meltzer,
the guy you were like totally slagging off last week on the show?
No, I never slagged
the guy you were like, don't listen to him, he's their dirt sheets trash. You're sitting there with your big fucking collected anthology on your...
I've got a fucking £45 it goes for two of them.
So Neil, so what's your story, man? What do you do for a living, and how have you been navigating this unprecedented pandemic? It's not really unprecedented stuff.
I'm a software developer, a web developer just now. So my pandemic's been fine, working for him. not been too bad. I'm quite enjoying it. I'm quite enjoying working for home, not having to go out much.
Do you think you'll have to? Do you think you'll always be able to work for him now, or will you have to go back once this is all done with? Do you think?
Nah, they're talking about like changing stuff. Eh? Like they've seen it's worked pretty well, so they're quite happy with the folk working for home. I think we'll have to go to office for some stuff and that. But
yeah,
what have you designed? Have you designed any apps?
So the thing that like I'm doing just now isn't actually great for the pandemic, so I'm not guaranteed a job just to be doing software, because I work for a company that does like restaurant stuff, so obviously there's not many restaurants open just now. Company called Res Diary, they're like just if you've ever booked a restaurant in Glasgow, you've probably used them.
I have used it.
Did you make that?
I've made bits of it.
Fucking hell, mate, take a bow.
Well, I mean, it was quite established by the time I joined. They're quite an old company, so
I've used that, but it's quite often you talk to somebody that they kind of web development things and stuff like that, and they've never done it, and you've even heard it. It's stuff that's away behind the scenes. You don't know. It's very, very rare that you talk to somebody where it's something you've actually used regularly.
It's mad. The most common comment that I get is, "How's that a full time job? Once you make the website, is it not just done?"
Like, no.
Constantly updated stuff. Like,
oh, brab. No.
It's not like that. No.
Web tech. Oh, I fucking script and HTML and all that.
I've used that reservation service, that web reservation application, many, many times. So it's quite exciting meeting somebody that's saying, I must feel the way John would feel if we met the person that put together Pornhub.
For fuck's sake.
What is it, Credo?
Livingston arresting 7 other players for the weekend.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway. So, Neil, what questions have you got for us? What dynamite questions have you got for
I've not got a question as such, but like apparently this is the most depressing week of the year, or traditionally, maybe not this year, because this year's a bit different. But
it was Blue Monday and Monday.
Aye, all that nonsense.
Why we didn't know about that for the radio, Grado?
Absolutely.
What were you asking for? Tell us your happy thoughts on Blue Monday. Give us your happy thoughts.
Because we are the number one radio breakfast show in Glasgow in the West. We actually got somebody to come on and tell us a wee story about how this woman's ma forgot her purse at the checkout and somebody behind paid it for her. And then because the guy went out to chase her to pay it, somebody else paid his message, blah, 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 blah. Fun all round. Bit of good news for Blue Monday.
Same idea. On the back of your story last week as well, Rab, about like forking and that, just any other happy stories that folk you've got? Like, I don't know, wrestlers that have been nice to you, Grado, or anything
happy
like that.
Stories.
Like, just something positive.
Right, okay. I'll tell you one that kind of popped up in my head the other day. It was when Cody Rhodes first came away from the WWE, right, come on to the Indies, and I was in a show in New Jersey, and I had never met Cody Rhodes before, and he was kind of set in a separate dressing room with us because Ric Flair was there, and you know Ric Flair is like fucking, he'll be pals with Dusty and all that. They had done an autograph session together that day, so Cody was kind of still in that, he's a top dog, he's in his own locker room, and he came up to me with a bottle of whiskey and a wee shot glass, right? It was after a match, and he came up to me and he says, "Listen, I've spoke to Kurt Angle, and I was telling him I was on this show at the weekend, and I mentioned you were on the show." And Kurt Angle says, "Grado's a man, he's a top dog." He goes, "Great entertainer, he'll see you right. So I just thought I'd come up to you and shake your hands and say, how you doing? And you want a wee shot of whiskey?" And I was like, "Oh, thanks very much." Done that, and then He was at Impact a couple of weeks later, and he only done like a couple of shots, but he came in before he went to Impact. He kind of sent me a DM going, what's the crack with Impact? How does it work? What happens? And I was like, look, mate, I'll get you at the gate. Again, no thing was that, but I'll kind of show you a boot and stuff like that. And so we showed each other a boot, and I showed him a boot. TNA, and he was just a lovely, really nice guy to me, and it was just all for Kurt Angle saying Grado's a really nice guy, and that kind of made me feel really good. So obviously I was a wee bit kind of cut up the other day when I seen that Cody Rhodes unfollowed me on Twitter.
Is that why you buried him tonight?
You know what I mean? And remember he had a booking in Glasgow, and he seen all the pantomimes. He was wrestling for SWA, I was at pantomime, and he'd taken a picture of like the panto stuff, like he'd seen a panto poster and he DM'd me going, oh, he was going, what was he saying? I can't remember the show it was in. It was like The Wizard of Never Was and all that. And he was kind of noising me up and a wee bit of chuckling back and forth.
Friendly
and
banter.
He fucking unfolded me, man.
Well, thanks for that happy story, Grado.
What's that again, story? I don't know.
Let me tell you about the time I was doing a telly show and we wanted, we were doing a show called Video Guiding at the time. It was a computer game show. And we wanted to do a bit about creating a time capsule, like burying all these great games and stuff like that for future generations to find. And we thought, how great would it be to get an ex-Doctor Who, like one of the Doctors on it? And so we got Colin Baker. Me and Ryan are always a big fan of Colin Baker's stint as the Doctor. So we were like, we just ask him. We didn't have any money, really. We're like, we just ask him, see if he would do it. And he agreed. We agreed to do it, and it was like such a big surprise. We were very excited to get him because it really wasn't a lot of money he was doing it for. And we were like, oh my God, what was he going to wear? Well, acting producer, what was he going to wear? And then he got back in touch, and he was like, do you want me to bring the costume as well? And I'm like, oh my God, aye. He says, I could bring the costume, and then it would be like, it'd almost be like canon. It would be like real. I would be like the real Doctor because it's a BBC show and stuff like that. So suddenly the whole bit had transformed into this is the actual Doctor. It's not like Colin Baker. It's like we didn't refer to him as Colin Baker. We referred to him as the Doctor, and he was there in his full gear and stuff like that. And we were super intimidated because we were going, these old English actor guys from back in the day are going to be, you know, Colin Baker was very theatrical and stuff like that as well in Doctor Who. And we kind of thought, this guy's maybe going to be like, you know, you know what I mean? Fully sell and no really up for it and stuff like that. And we filmed it, I'm pretty sure, and I think it might have been Clydebank Town Hall. And we had a load of burlesque dancers and it was just like mental looking. And he came in and he was the sweetest guy we'd ever met. He was so kind, and he was talking to us, and he was telling stories to us about the old Doctor Who days and what he does on the convention tours, and he was talking about his family, and he was just like, and we'd had like a bunch of guests on the show, and none of them had been as nice as him. He was like the nicest guy we ever had on it. I had the script, he had living coming up with his own stuff and all that, and it was the best. And I remember we were just kind of sitting, watching him and kind of going, man, that's the way you be. Like, you don't have to be like, you know, like a Cody Rhodes. You know what I mean? You could just be this lovely, generous guy.
But you're right, but because there's a guy, Doctor Who, and he's going out his way to do that for you. You sometimes find that, do you know, Hank? Like the mayor experience I've had, the bigger the name, they couldn't be nicer to you, by the way. It's like, I remember when I first started doing Grado videos, and I wanted Robert the Robot to be in my video, the guy that walked about Glasgow in the robot uniform and today's dance, kind of today the dance. Mm-hmm. And I messaged him and I was like, look, I talk about you in my promos. I'm like, Robert the Robot. So I can't remember what I said about him. I was like, can you be in my video? And he was like, I never, mate, I'm £50. So I fucking paid him that, I'm £50, man. Doing Lark's fucking show front, me and Robert the Robot, filming something on my phone, man. I'm like, it's 10, 20, 30, 40.
Well, that's the thing. And Colin Baker didn't have to do any of this stuff, but I think it was a thing he was talking about as well. But like, he says, when you've played the Doctor, you've got a responsibility to young fans, and it doesn't stop once the young fans are adults. You know what I mean? It's like, it's got to be a kind of lifelong thing, which was sweet. So he'd kind of says to us basically that it was like, you know, cause you were fans of the show when you were wee guys and watched me when we were wee guys, I've still got a responsibility to kind of like be the Doctor for you. Mm-hmm. Very sweet man. Nice, very lovely man. There you go. That's a nice story, isn't it?
That was a nice story, mate. That was heartwarming, man.
I preferred Robbie the Robot story. Colin Baker and Robbie the Robot.
I just had flashbacks, Grado, of the that's just 10.
Just 10. I need to fucking me, Dylan. Hornswoggle messaged me the other week saying that out of the blue. Just 10. Fucking best story ever, man. Out in the fucking high street getting stoked for a selfie. Just 10.
Lumpy the Robot's charged £150. Fucking hell.
What age was he, Grado?
Who?
Robbie the Robot, when you worked to him. Robert the Robot.
He was about maybe in his late 40s, possibly. But there was a room. I'm feet in case he's dead now.
Right, what about, how much do you think the boy who plays the drums to techno music, the old boy that plays the drums to techno music, how much do you think he'd cost?
Oh, you need to ask the wee man for that. He's worked with the wee man, hasn't he?
Was he worked with the wee man?
Well, I'm sure he's been in the wee man's videos. What's his name again?
No, you're thinking of a different guy. You're thinking of the guy that does the mad kind of dancing.
You're right, Arm.
The earphones on. John's talking about the old guy that plays the drums and the wee cats dance.
Ah, just outside Sick Nook Centre.
Aye.
Yeah. Well, find out. Is he got cameo?
You know they're no real cats. They're like kid-on. They're kid-on cats. That's a work. That's easy. When last time I saw him, I was like, are they shoot cats, mate? And he was like, what? He says, are they shoot cats? And he was pure kayfabe, and he was like, I don't know what you mean by shoot. I don't know what that means.
That's funny, man.
Well, Neil, thanks so much for coming on. That was a good laugh. It was good.
Aye, cheers for the stories, guys. Thanks very much.
Leather and keep going with the board gaming. And
aye, stay safe, you know. Stay in.
Stay safe, stay home, protect the NHS, save lives, Neil. All right.
Okay. I'm on the social anyway. I love staying inside.
Beautiful. Suits us. Right, man. Thanks a lot, right? Speak soon.
See you later, cheers, pal. All the best, mate.
Cheers,
best.
Neil. Hope we see you in the next Patreon pay-per-view party for the Rumble.
I'll see you for the Rumble, mate.
Nice
see
one,
you.
Mate. See bye. You later, pal.
Cheers, buddy. Bye now.
You, you just made the list!
Every week we run down a chart and a list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Randy Orton is on fire, quite literally, at the moment. So we thought we would put up Randy Orton's greatest moments against the strangest moments in wrestling after that fireball attack last week. And with 82% of the vote, it was the strangest things in wrestling that won it. So here's my top three strangest things ever to happen in professional wrestling. At number three, it is RoboCop and WCW. I believe, I haven't double checked this, but it was definitely a match Sting was involved in, and Sting ended up locked in a cage, I'm pretty sure, and RoboCop came down to gee, as we like to call it, honours. Just walked down, RoboCop walked down, pulled the cage apart, let Sting out, and it was mental. And I was thinking to myself, I remember when I was a wee guy seeing this going, if he was helping Sting that much, why is he not just pull his gun out and shoot? Like, why is he not shoot the baddies instead of just like opening? Why is he still sticking to the rules of wrestling when he could just be? Anyway, so number three, strange for me, was RoboCop. Number two is, again, WCW. And it was when Chucky came for Rick Steiner.
Chucky, aye. I didn't remember that.
And this went on for weeks.
Aye.
Chucky was like appearing in the crowd, Nora. And he was speaking, he was going, Rick Steiner. And it was the weirdest thing. I was like, A, why is Chucky here? And B, why fucking Rick Steiner? You know what I mean? Like, of all the guys, you're going to go, like, see if you're in the back, you're in creative at WCW, and you're going, listen, why do you have a thing with Chucky? With Chucky, the fucking doll, the possessed evil doll, aye. We're going to have him go after somebody. Right, we could get him to go after the Nitro girls and stuff, and it would be like proper lying me. No, how about Rick Steiner? The guy that could fucking battle like almost everybody in the roster. We'll have Chucky go after Rick. Rick Steiner could just fucking pull Chucky apart, man.
The same site I'm reading about the Chucky thing, Chuck Norris refereed a fucking Undertaker match. I don't have any memory of that.
I mean, that's no strange though, isn't it? No, that's like acceptable. That seems acceptable to me. I'm going to move on to my number one, mate. Right? My number one is in Hustle, Japan. And I've spoken about this before in here. Great Muta had a match with Yinling, the erotic terrorist. And at the end of the match, Great Muta grabbed Yinling, the erotic terrorist, and spat his green mist in her vagina. And then Yinling get pregnant because of Muta's great green mist, and she laid a giant egg. And a wrestler called Giant Bono came out of this giant egg, this big giant wrestler, hatched out of this egg, and Yinling, the erotic terrorist, was his ma, and Great Muta was his da, because he inseminated Yinling with his green mist that he spread for his mouth into her private parts. So if anybody can, anything stranger than that happened in wrestling, good luck to you. Hustle, again, Hustle Japan, my favourite promotion of all time. My favourite, I just want to, if I was ever to run a wrestling promotion, I've said that a million times, it would just basically be Hustle Scotland. I would love to just get the rights. I would just love to try and find out if I can just call it Hustle and just, it would be great.
I think one of the most, I don't know if it's strange, but remember the lass in the Indies that took out her fucking tampon and shoved it down the lassie she was wrestling's throat? Do you remember that?
Was it Priscilla? That was recently. That was like last year, right?
Was it? I'm watching the video. Oh, fuck it. I turned that off, man. That's horrific. Oh, my God. But I can't. That's just.
But that was a work, though, mate, wasn't it?
Was it? Jake, it was just tomato sauce.
I was there. I was like, was that a shoot tampon? I was shooting. Is that a shoot? Right. So let's see what the punters have got to say. Chris says it's going to be when Taker locked Warrior in the coffin, freaked me out as a child. Especially the claw marks in the coffin for Warrior trying to escape. Jonathan says Gene Snitsky punting a baby into the crowd. Paul says after Lita's retirement match against Mickey James at Survivor Series 06, Crime Time came out and sold all her stuff. ABL was wanting to buy her underwear and asking if he could get a sniff before he bought them. And then they sold a sex toy to the crowd. Lita was screaming, "You wonder why I'm leaving?" I was certainly aimed at Vince and the booking team. You want to get that in the PG era?
It kind of reminds me, remember the time, was it in the Rumble, hiding right with Michael Cole? Did he not have Michael Cole up against a door? And he was breathing down his neck. Was it Michael Cole?
But these are like, these, without, I would almost see some of these suggestions so far are like offensive things in wrestling. They're not really, I wouldn't say they're particularly strange, although this one is. Scott says the Katie Vick storyline. As if Triple H outing Kane as a necrophiliac and then shown as somebody wearing a Triple H mask in hospital having objects removed for his arse wasn't bad enough. Vince thought he'd throw in a segment where Triple H has sex with the dead body of Katie Vick in a casket at an actual funeral home and then say to the dead body, "I just screwed your brains out." That was a low point. Alan says Big Boss Man being hung at WrestleMania 15. Mick says Triple H being dropped from a crane in a car from about 30 feet then rocking up on Raw a week later with a bandage on his head. Gordon says Ethan Page versus Karate Man at last week's Impact, hard to kill. And there's Tataki Falafel with Robocop saving Sting. Always that. Willie says Booker T running away for the boogeyman and ending up walking in on Snitsky sucking on Mae Young's toes. Chris says Giant versus Hulk Hogan monster truck fight on a roof, ended with Giant being thrown off a roof, then no selling it 2 hours later. Special mention to the Cactus Jack amnesia story, which was appalling. And Davey says the Mark Henry transvestite blowjob. Calzo says Vince McMahon's new face is a strange thing in wrestling. Don't know what's going on with Vince McMahon's face, really. Is it just old age or has he had work, do you think?
He's got to have had. I don't think he's had work, do you?
It's Vince just has had a lot of work. Jesus Christ.
Do you think so?
Oh, God, aye. Look at his face.
Aye, it's really scary looking, actually. See, if you take it into your own first result, it is. It's really quite disturbing, isn't it?
Oh, aye. I mean, the latest pictures, he's had a lot of work done. A lot of work. It's Dolly Parton-esque, I would say.
He's had, like facelift. Are you saying Dolly Parton's had a lot of work? Let's get you on record here, John. Are you saying Dolly Parton's had a lot of work?
Yes, I am saying Dolly Parton's had a lot of work.
John, is it not just that he's getting to be an old guy?
No, look at his...
And some wrestling fans can't accept that. Like, I always go to laugh at some folk when they see a guy that done a shoot interview and it's 20 years later and he looks like a bag of shite and you think, well, fuck, everybody's... It happens to everybody, do you know what I mean?
No, but you grow old gracefully. He's had loads of work done.
Do you think he keeps getting the wee... Because he's got one of the kind of arse chins like my mate Alan. Do you think he gets that kind of topped up? Looking at, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you think that's real? The arse chin?
Wait, what, like, I've got an arse... I've got a... What, like a dimple, like a...
Aye.
I don't think you can see it because I've got hair here.
Oh, you say you do, mate. You do? Mm. Oh, fucking hell. Did anybody ever call you arse chin at school or anything like that?
No, not until now, mate. Slagging has just been invented today for me, thanks. So, yeah, they called Florence Nightingale at school. She was... And that was never used to bother me because Florence was actually a nurse who saved a lot of lives during the war.
You get called Florence Nightingale at school?
Aye. So that...
Fucking Florence Nightingale all there.
Yep.
Brilliant old that.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
That's funny, man.
It's like fucking Nam for a grab right here.
It's like fucking, you can just imagine somebody if they went to school with sitting turning on Burnison for the first time and going, that's fucking Florence Nightingale. You seen Florence Nightingale? He's in programming the fucking beep.
Fucking bastards. Woo! Now, I want to tell you here about this Wrestling Daft merch that we've got. I want to tell you specifically what John has written on these notes here.
Oh, fuck. I'm not.
No, John, don't say anything. John.
Right.
This is what John's prepped for me here. Christmas is not far away, so why not buy the loved one in your life a Wrestling Daft t-shirt? And now we have brand new designs, including the markers here with a pick of the Wrestling Daft belt. Wrestling's Kid On, my favourite one. An immortal quote for the immortal Hulk Hogan. Goodnight, Hulkamaniacs and Jabroni Marks without a life. I don't know it's a work when you work a work mark, get yourself into a shoot marks on a t-shirt. Not only that, we get hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags, aprons at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. And you'll find all our other designs. Alexa, who's Grim, Steve Lee, I'm a Mark, Crud, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, I'm a wrestler, Tay. Check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Hell of a show tonight, eh, Gredo?
I've been feeling a bit sick the day without eating too much before my match, mate, so you know these things happen.
You know, I ran into Cody Rhodes backstage here just before the show, and he came up to me and said he'd had a word with Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle just said that I was like a decent guy, I'd sort him out and stuff like that. I had done a couple of shots of him. I was like, why have a wee shot with Grado on it as well? I was like, nah.
Well,
we've
kind of had a fun, he's kind of unfolded me to
it,
so fuck him.
You know, it makes me think, like, I try not to drink even after my matches, you know what I mean? I'm trying to stay after drink a wee bit, you know what I mean? Because I've got to tell you something. See, years ago, right, I used to drink quite a lot, man. And years ago, I was on the way home for the pub. I don't know, I just swing a wee right here. And like, can you pass me that coffee?
There you go, mate. Here's a lid.
There you go. Aye, so we're messing about, right? I was steaming and we're messing about and trying to push each other into gardens through the hedges and all that kind of stuff, right? Normally I would say Gerdon's, but that's, you know, I'm going to try to clean it up for you, mate. Try to push him into Gerdon and all that, like you do when you're steaming, you know, that daft stuff.
Aye.
And I ended up slipping, right, and fell down on this embankment, right, and when I stood up, I was covered in dog shite. I just slid through all this dog shite, right? My mate couldn't stop laughing, man. And then I had to plead with him. I was like, just let me into the house. Because we're going to a house, right? We're going to a house to just kind of hang out and have a few drinks and that, right? And they were like, I'm not letting you in, we're covered in shite like that, right? Because I had to fucking strip all my clothes off at the front door, Gredo, and put them all my clothes in a bin bag. They gave us a bin bag out. They were like, get all that fucking stinking clothes off, right? So, you know, I had to put them all in a bin bag. The next day, mate, I had to convince my ma, right, when I came home, that I hadn't shat myself when I was out, because I came home with my clothes in a bin bag covered in shite, right? Stinking of shite. So, anyway. That was it. Story, mate, right? I think I was out of fear, right? Headed to work on a Monday. Went to plug my headphones into my phone, right? Neat sound was coming through. I was like, what the fuck's going on here, right? Then they put two and two together. I arranged an appointment at a Genius Bar, and this was in Glasgow, right, back in the day. So I went, I says, mate, something rang out with my phone here. I just can't get any sound out of it, right? And the guy had a look. He says to me, it's probably something simple, mate. I'll just have a look here and had a look at the phone, right? It was just what it looked like. It was like a wee periscope, right? And he fucking looked down at the headphone socket and he says, man, this appears to be an issue, mate. It's clogged up. He says to me, he says, it looks like biscuit or chocolate. It was at this point, mate, right? My heart just sank. I had to sit for 5 uncomfortable minutes, mate, right, with a guy spraying air into my phone to push out wee bits of dog shite. Worrying that he thought I was some sort of deviant or something, mate, that puts his phone up his arse for pleasure, know what I mean? Mortifying experience. I couldn't go to the shop quick enough, mate. Oh, glad I never told Cody that one tonight. Here, I'm going to stop in here for some food.
It's a fucking belter.
Who sent that one, John? That was my best one yet.
Is that the best one? Oh, God, I don't know if last week that was from. Let me just get up the E.
That was funny, man. That happened to me in fucking England. I done a shite in Waterstones. Remember Waterstones? Mm-hmm. And my phone dropped into my toilet I was doing a shite, and as I was going up to fucking England, my phone fell in, and there was shite all in it. And I fucking, and I turned it to fucking Phones For You to see if the guy would fix it, and he turned it through the back and come back and went, I can't fix that. I was like, cool, man. I wasn't giving a fuck, I didn't think he would notice. But he obviously, that's what they did, they obviously must poke in a bit, they went, I can't be fixed.
Who was it, John?
That was from Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan Ferguson, football player. Big thanks to Duncan Ferguson for that road story. That was a belter. That's my favourite, actually, of the lot so far. Very, very good. I love the bits, man. The road story
that's
bits.
That's the best, man. That's the best.
I love the bits. If you have a wrestling daft road story, doesn't have to be anything to do with wrestling, just a funny story about your life that's going to pop the boys, drop us a DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or get in touch on the Facebook page. So we have to pick, I believe, a listener of the week.
I would go for that story, mate. I'd go for Duncan Ferguson.
Let's get to Duncan Ferguson. Let's get to Big Dunk. Thanks for that road story. That was a belter. It made us laugh. So what have you got coming up this week, Grado?
What have I got coming up this week? Just mere radio. I don't really have much, no plans. Obviously, I've got a beer machine, so I've been getting torn into that. I've got another beer machine on the way that I've accidentally ordered by accident or won an auction on eBay, so I'm trying to get that popped. It doesn't seem as if there's much in the cards, mate. What are you saying?
I'm taking it easy. There's not that much in the cards here either.
I'm going to watch AEW. I'm going to watch that. Definitely get that soon too. What about you, John? What are you doing?
Watching porn.
Up the road now, Grado. Up the road now.
It's yourself.
It's yourself.
11. 11. Audio Frontier.